The news, the views, covering your teams. This is the Radio Verulam local football show from St Albans on 92.6 FM.
Now we are delighted to share with you another true person part of the City Youth set up here in St Albans. And we're going to speak to Stephen Neville, who's going to share everything to deal with St Albans City Youth Foundation and clearly a girls and boys tournament this weekend. Good evening and once again welcome and thank you for joining us on the local football show here on 92.6 FM and online at Radio Verulam. Another weekend of results for our local teams and great to see the Saints with their first 3 points of the season on Saturday by thrashing Welling United 5-0. Unfortunately, yesterday's game against Tonbridge Angels was abandoned after around 85 minutes due to a serious leg injury to full-back Devante Stanley. We are waiting for further details of what happened, so in the meantime we wish Devante well and a speedy recovery. On tonight's show then, we bring you, Johnny shares an update in regard to all our other local teams' news, views, fixtures and results so far. We also share highlights and reaction from Ian Allison as the Saints win 5-0 on Saturday against Welling United at Clarence Park. Johnny brings us a match report from Saturday's match against London Colney versus Risborough Rangers. We also speak with Stephen Neville from City Youth, who shares his final preparations for this weekend's youth football tournament to be held at Highfields. And don't forget, this Saturday we'll be live on 92.6 FM from 2:50pm as the Saints take on Chippenham Town in the National League South fixture at Clarence Park. We are delighted to announce Paul Fairclough, the England C manager, will be joining us on co-commentary. Finally, as always, we have another football theme, Anthem of the Week, to share, so all will be revealed. So let's get cracking and over to Johnny for the latest news, views, fixtures and results of all our local teams over the last few days.
Thank you ever so much, Graham. Right, time for us to check out all these results and fixtures. We'll start things off from the weekend and, of course, we're going to hear a little bit later on that fantastic result for St Albans beating Welling United 5-0 at Clarence Park, and many of you saw that with nearly 900 rammed into Clarence Park. A bit of a sad situation, of course. There's been a lot of documentation about this, and Graham will update us about Devante Stanley as St Albans travelled down to Tonbridge Angels yesterday. They were winning 1-0 with about 5 minutes to go in the game, and Devante sliding in to do a good tackle towards the end of the game, but sadly getting really badly injured and the game having to be abandoned. Of course, all our thoughts and wishes are with Devante at this time, as we hope it's not long before he's back wearing the St Albans shirt and representing the team again. In other fixtures, Coney Heath battled to a 0-0 at Biggleswade on Saturday, playing ever so well, we understand, but sadly not being able to convert. On Monday, yesterday, they did go down 3-1 at home to Harlow, which was a little bit of a shame. On to the Spartan Premier. Well, Harpenden are flying at this moment in time. 3-0 victors against Aylesbury Vale Dynamos on Saturday. Leverstock Green also having a great run. They won 3-0 at Dunstable, or against Dunstable, on Saturday. London Colney sadly going down 4-0. We'll hear a little bit more about that game later on the show. Now, the Corinthians, the Chipperfield Corinthians, were due to host St Albans Reserves. That game was called off. Now, Coney Heath Reserves in the Hearts Senior League beat Cot Fosters 3-1. Sandridge Rovers, who are on a really good run at this moment in time, beat Wingate and Finchley 3-1. And Belston, who are absolutely flying, Belstone, they are at the top of the Hearts Premier Division with a 5-1 victory over Harefield United. So great, great stuff going on there. Now, fixtures this evening, well, there's plenty going on. Leverstock Green travel to Harefield. They got a 7:45 kickoff. And we've also got this evening, London Colney are travelling to Flackwell Heath again for a 7:45 kickoff. Now, home game this evening, if you want to see some football and you're in the Harpenden area, Harpenden host the New Salamis. Now, we saw them in action against Coney Heath last season in the Cup. So that's Harpenden versus New Salamis, 7:45 kickoff down there at Rothamsted Park. A little bit closer to home if you're in the St Albans area. Big game taking place. It's actually already kicked off. It kicked off at 7 o'clock, so perhaps get yourself down to Clarence Park, catch the second half of that. It's FA Cup, the Youth FA Cup, and St Albans Academy are in action in the FA Youth Cup versus Frenford this evening. Frenford, that was a 7 o'clock kickoff. We'll have a report on that game a little bit later on our shows to come. Next week, actually, on our show next week. Right, Graham, there's all the updates. As we say, fingers crossed, Devante Stanley is going to be better and be back with us all very, very soon. And our hearts and our good wishes go out to Devante. Thanks, Graham.
Thanks, Johnny. Great to see some of our teams picking up some impressive wins over the weekend. So moving on, let's give you some highlights regarding Saturday's 5-0 win at Clarence Park, where the Saints beat Welling United. Sean Jeffers got a hat-trick. Romeo Akinola scored 2 goals. And we'll also get some post-match reaction from Ian Allison.
And this is a lovely ball down the left from Tom Bender. He gets Mitchell Weiss. He just gets body checked. The referee allows play on it. Would have been a free kick. Mitchell Weiss tries to cross the ball in and it's headed away by Welling. Comes to their midfielder. David Noble gets his foot on the ball. He plays it into Goodard. He comes into Sean Jeffers. He shoots. He scores! 1-0 to the Saints. Nice, that was wonderful. Lovely ball from David Noble into Johnny Goodard, who's playing on the left side of midfield. He slotted it in. He found Sean Jeffers. Sean was off the shoulder of the central defender onside, controlled it and sort of chipped it around over the goalkeeper. Beautiful goal, Simon. 1-0, Sean Jeffers.
The attack now down the left-hand side.
He is, and he comes all the way back to Alex Lankshear. He just gets a cross in. He's looking for it. Defensive heading pops up to Mitchell Weiss. He gets it. Johnny Goodard shoots. Oh, Sean Jeffers has just scored to make it 2-0 to the Saints. A bit messy of a sloppy defensive make there from the Welling United team. But Sean Jeffers has just bagged a second 10 minutes into this game down at Clarence Park. And I tell you what, Simon, that was sloppy. Mitchell Weiss got to his head. It was a bad defensive header from Welling. The ball came to Mitchell Weiss. It came to Johnny Goodard, who shot the goal. He got something to it. And who was following up? That man, Sean Jeffers, slotted it in. But the Saints travel back well. Akinola's working hard to close down, and he does. He closes it down, gets a touch, comes to Karen Wiltshire. Karen plays it back into Akinola. He's onside, he's got the ball, he's on the edge of the box. What's he going to do? He's going to try and cross it. He's going to dribble around. He does, he takes it round through, and he's taken down in the box, and it's a penalty for the Saints. And I tell you what, that is positivity from Akinola. He ran at the two Welling defenders. You can see the Welling defence are all over the place. They're not. They haven't really got the confidence. Akinola took it through two, dribbled through, came to a third player. He was on the ground, the defender. Akinola went into him with the ball. He tripped himself big. The whistle goes. Sean's taking his time. What's he going to do? He slots, he shoots, and it's a goal! Into the bottom left and right-hand side of the Welling goalkeeper's net. And that is St Albans City 3, Welling United 0. And we're 14 minutes into this first half, Simon. Wow. But Welling come away with the ball. They play it all the way to the back, and Alex Lankshear is going to have to defend here. He does. Look at that wonderful sliding tackle to the point. He plays it to himself. He's back on his feet. He's got the ball. He's in the Welling half. He finds, who's this, Romeo Akinola down the left hand side now. Romeo's coming into the box. What's he going to do? Trick around him.
Take him on.
Exactly. He plays it into Mitchell Weiss, who turns. Mitchell Weiss shoots, and he hits the side netting. And we've got Simon Martin with us. Saints legend, who's co-commentating today. Simon will be with us very shortly. So here we go, the second half kicks off, and Clarence Park Road end is the Saints are shooting down into in this second half. Wiltshire gets there, plays the ball back to Johnny Goodard on this far right side. He's switched with Akinola. So what's he? Oh, dribbles round. Johnny Goodard's in the box. He shoots. He comes across. And he's there. There's a bit of a bubble. And the Saints, can they get there? They've got the ball back. Akinola shoots. It is a goal. The referee gives a goal. It's 4-0 St Albans City. And wow, even the Saints fans jumped up with joy. The line assistant gives the thumbs up. I think it's Romeo Akinola that got Akinola. A lovely high ball there into Romeo Akinola. He's one on one with the keeper. He shoots. He's gone wide, Simon. I can't believe what happened. A lovely high ball. I think it was either Hugh Dawson or Lankshear. Played a lovely ball over. Akinola through the middle. One on one with the goalkeeper. He slotted it under him. I thought he was going in. He's gone wide, Simon.
Yeah, he just, you know, he scored his first goal. You'd think, go on, go and get yourself a second there. Yeah, both teams conduct themselves fairly well.
And that just that chance with Akinola, Simon, you must be livid as a striker, because he looked too relaxed. You want to blast that ball in whatever way you do it. You want to hit that net. Sean Jeffers is on the move. He's in the box. He's on the byline. He plays the ball. Akinola to score. He gets his second goal. It's St Albans City 5, Welling United 0.
In first 3 points this season, how are you?
I'm pleased first and foremost obviously to get the 3 points. Secondly was the manner of the performance, which was good. You know, we felt we had an unbelievable training session on Thursday night, and it just sort of continued to today, which was good. Players have taken on some information we spoke about after the game last week, and they took it forward to training on Thursday, and it showed again tonight, so really pleased for the players, pleased for the club, also pleased for the supporters, because to get over 800 here on a bank holiday Saturday in August is probably not been known for a long, long time. So, you know, well done to them as well for turning up and turning up in their numbers and getting behind the players, because that was great today. And players needed it. And certainly, you know, any sort of win at any stage is good. But it's really pleased from the manner of the way we went about it. And the only thing I would say, a little bit disappointed, we could have been a lot more in terms if we'd have finished them off today in terms of the chances we created.
Obviously you did score 5 goals, but the first clean sheet of the season as well. How happy are you to see that?
It's good for Michael, and it's good for Peter Russell, because you know we've questioned why we've not kept any clean sheets over the last few weeks, and so that was really nice for us to do that. And it's good for Michael's confidence, and it's good for Peter, who's working with him, because Peter's worked extremely hard with the goalkeepers during pre-season and during the whole of the 3 games we've had now, and you question why we've not had clean sheets, and you've got to question defenders. Made some big decisions today in terms of the way we changed some personnel, and that's got nothing to do with the personnel that's been left out, because they've been excellent for us in the 2 games. They've really tried extremely hard and been very, very good, and we've been a bit unfortunate. We've given late goals away in both games that has taken the gloss off 2 really good performances, I felt, against Dartford and against Dorking. So it was nice to continue where we've been. They were 2 very, very difficult games, but in important times in them games we've conceded late goals, and it just knocks the confidence a little bit. But today, you know, I felt that we went out there and played really well. We got the start that we wanted, a goal early on, but some of our interchanging, some of our passing, some of our movement, and the quality of the finish on the goals we scored was outstanding. I would just say the only criticism was that we could have had a few more, and we didn't punish them for the chances that we created late on.
And obviously it's a short turnaround, the game on Monday. What sort of preparation have you got to do for that?
A lot of the preparation's already been done. You know, we can't plan and prepare for a game until you know what injuries you've got, but at the moment it looks like we've got no injuries, which is good. We've got a few little knocks which we'll know more about in the morning when the players report in, but they've all done their warm down. They all look really good. The confidence is obviously high, so we've got to go in on Monday and try and get 3 points at Tonbridge.
Great start to this game for you. How are you feeling after that 12 minute hat trick?
Delighted. I mean, not just the 3 goals, but we got the first 3 points of the season. So, yeah, like I said, on last game, scored a couple, but we didn't come away with a point. So that was the main feeling of it. But yeah, we got the 3 points, clean sheet, 3 goals, and the win for the first 3 points of the season. So delighted.
And like you said, 2 goals last time out, 3 goals this time out. Is this the start of the form you've been looking for and push on for the rest of the season with that sort of record?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously my end goals are scoring to help helping the team and get to where we want to get to. So yeah, like I said, I've started well. Didn't come in the first game, but I knew the opportunities would come, and they have, and I think we showed what our attacking and our defensive sides of the game. So hopefully we can continue that, and look forward to Monday.
We had 800 odd people in here today. Seems like we're packing up the stands every time we play here. How nice is it for you guys to hear the fans getting behind you?
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, obviously after last season not having them in here, it's a stark contrast to last season. We wanted them back, but obviously we couldn't. But I think they just give us a lift, and they're an extra man, so I think that showed today. Like I said, got the 3 points, we got the win, and we got a clean sheet, so we're delighted. Hopefully they're delighted, and yeah, hopefully we can turn into the next game as well.
And have you got a place you're going to put that ball?
This is going to go pride of place, the first hat trick, so yeah, delighted with this. All the boys have signed it, so I'm happy.
Still to come on tonight's show, Johnny brings us a match report from Saturday's game against London Colney and Risborough Rangers. We also speak with Stephen Neville from City Youth,
who talks about his final preparations for this weekend's youth football tournament at Highfields. And don't forget, this Saturday from 2:50pm, 92.6 FM and online at Radio Verulam, we'll be delivering live commentary where the Saints will be taking on Chippenham Town in the National League South fixture. And don't forget, Paul Fairclough, the England C manager, will be joining us on co-commentary. So we'll be back shortly with these few messages.
Find us on social media as RV Football and on 92.6 FM from St Albans. This is the voice of local football.
Now, Johnny's going to give us a match report from Saturday's game against London Colney versus Risborough Rangers.
So I'm down at Cotswold here for London Colney versus Risborough Rangers. London Colney, currently 13th in the table, played 3-1-1, lost 2. Risborough Rangers played 2-1-1, lost 1, sitting 4th in the table. It's been a much better start to the season for Jack Metcalf's boys, as has the last few years. I'm just chatting to Club Secretary Steve Wipey, telling me he's over the moon to see the team winning their first game of the season, the first time in many years. Nice positive atmosphere down here at Cotswold. We're just awaiting kickoff. We're going to be back at half time to fill you in and see if we can get some sound bites from some of the spectators that are down here.
The news, the views, covering your teams.
So it's half time here at Cotswold and the score is London Colney 0, Risborough Rangers 1. It started off the first 2 or 3 minutes pretty even, as these games do, but unfortunately for London Colney, the ball went out to the left side of the Risborough Rangers attack. They walloped a long ball into the area, and the goalkeeper for London Colney, Thierry Allenbellu, came out. Now, Thierry Allenbellu is about 6'7", and he flapped at the ball and missed it, and then it was tapped in at the back post for Risborough Rangers to go 1-0 up. Since then, the game has been pretty even, both teams threatening, but nothing really too spectacular or too noteworthy to actually cause an impact on the game. There's been chances at both ends. Risborough actually getting at each other a little bit with a few little arguments going on. But at this moment in time, as we stand at half-time, it is London Colney 0, Risborough Rangers 1.
You are listening to the Radio Verulam local football show.
It's full-time here at Cotswold, and the second half didn't really go to plan for Jack Metcalf's boys. They came out and started things off, tried to get things going. But sadly, there was a penalty dispute, and a goal went in after the goalkeeper, Thierry Bellu, managed to get a hand to it, but it was smashed into the bottom right-hand corner to make things 2-0 to Risborough Borough. And then we saw what possibly could be one of the goals of the season. Marcus Wiley, who plays for Risborough, got the ball on the edge of the area, flicked it up with his left foot, swivelled, and then hit it on the volley straight into the top corner, giving Bellu no chance at all to make it 3-0. London Colney tried to rattle things a little bit. Jack Metcalf made some changes, and a great save from Bellu from one of the Risborough strikers there, pushing it to the side, meant the score stayed 3-0. Into the final minute, there was a little bit of endeavour and a few chances as London Colney hit the bar with Kwadwo, the Stevenage boy, hitting the bar with a long shot from the right-hand side. But then the closing minutes, Risborough piled forward, playing some more creative football, and they had a great shot from the edge of the area. It beat Bellu, but as it was going into the goal, the centre-back for London Colney dived across and handballed it off the line, stopping the ball going in. He was then showing a red card. It was a penalty, and the penalty was then converted, making it 4-0. So a bit of a disappointing second half here for London Colney. That goalkeeping error in the first 5 minutes meant they had an uphill battle from the word go. We'll see if we can catch up with Jack Metcalf and get a little bit of a view about the game.
This is the Radio Verulam local football show.
Well, as I say, we just caught up here with Keith Harris, who's one of our colleagues who works for Wickham Sound Radio, and they've been over here this afternoon. Nice to see you, Keith. You cover Risborough Rangers then?
Yes, we cover much of the local non-league sides as we can, Johnny, and just so happens this season, because I had a reasonable cup run, all the games were at home to start with, which was nice for Risborough. Yeah. And I just fancied a day out today, and I thought, what better place to come to than London Colney and to meet up with you guys?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was an interesting game, because first half they had the edge, but there was still something for London Colney to get back into it. But second half, really, they just turned it on, didn't they?
They did a bit. I mean, there were a couple of turning points, but I thought actually in the beginning of the second half, London Colney made that substitution, brought on Wilberforce Orcan. What a lovely name.
Indeed, yeah.
And just for a while, they were beginning to get into the game, but you just felt that the experience that Risborough has, and it's worth pointing out, they are a side that stuck together for the last 2 years. They finally managed to get into step five. And I just felt that experience was always going to show. Ironically, it's one of their new signings, Sean Coles, who got the penalty that turned the game. And the goalkeeper, the wonderfully named Thierry Alain-Bessou, nearly saved Marcus Wiley's penalty. Mm. Got a hand to it, but it went in. The third goal was an absolute cracking goal by Wiley, wasn't it? Sort of flicked it up, turned, right foot volley. The sort of class goal you get at non-league.
Well, somebody shouted out, it was Thierry Henry-esque, wasn't it, from the stand. So it was that kind of flick, swivel and hit top corner. Lovely finish.
And really, they were always in control. They just felt that, London Colney would need to do something special or it would be a mistake. And the nearest they came to a goal was a free kick that goalkeeper Jack Brooker for Risborough, who's normally so reliable, came out to catch it, nearly pushed it through his legs, but he managed to claw it back before it crossed the line. And then the fourth goal was, Mickey Shuttleworth. I think we all saw it was a handball by him. And, he had to do nothing else but walk off. And personally, Lowell Clark, who got the penalty, the substitute, one of my favourite players at Risborough.
Oh, good.
So really pleased he's got his first goal of the season.
Made the journey worthwhile this afternoon.
Absolutely.
Then. And so where do you see this Risborough side finishing in the Spartan Midlands?
I think they will more than hold their own. They have been a step five side for a number of years, and when I say step five, a good step five side. Mm. I mean, last year they played Cobham in the FA Bars and gave them an exceptionally good game. I mean, one of the best games I saw before, sadly, the lockdown kicked in just before Christmas. So we're always very confident that Risborough would be a side to be reckoned with. They were fourth before today. I'm sure today's win will have kept them in the top three or four. Let's put it this way, Johnny, it will take a really good side to beat them. Already got a draw against Leighton Town, who are a lot of people's favourites for this league. They beat Broadfield 7-0, and I know Broadfield's beat London Colney 4-1, so that gives you a little bit of the idea of the disparity.
And what about, I know you're a visitor here today, what do you think about this young London Colney side?
They need, I think, just a little bit more experience. I think they just need a bit of, funnily enough, just talking to Chris, and he used a lovely expression, just need a bit of glue to sort of hold them together. They've got a couple of young lads up front on loan from Stevenage who, ran around, he could see the skill in them, but, it's just a little bit too much, It was, I hate to say it, but there were boys playing men's football and... I don't know the history too much of what's been happening to London Colney during lockdown, but it seems to me they've got quite a uphill battle if they're going to hold their own in this league this year.
Indeed. Well, Keith, lovely to see you. Hopefully we'll catch up with you again some point.
I hope we do, Johnny. Thanks so much indeed.
On 92.6 FM from St Albans, this is the voice of local football.
Got Jack Metcalf with me. Jack, a little bit of a disappointing result today. What's your take on that?
Disappointing result, of course. Fine lines in terms of the goals they scored, two penalties, an error, goalkeeping error, and a wonder strike. So three of the four were definitely avoidable. Other than that, I don't really feel like they opened us up in gameplay. So very, very fine lines in terms of the game, but a bit of naivety and not a great start this afternoon. Not a great start this afternoon in terms of the first half. And that's my sort of...
That's the thing, it's always hard to sort of pick the... You do all your preparation before the game and then something like that happens. Thierry makes that little mistake and it just calls it, makes it a little bit of an uphill battle. There was a nice little play down the wings in the first half and the boys from Stevenage as well looked quite creative.
Yeah, I mean, Terry, I played in goal myself. You're out there by yourself as a goalkeeper, so usually if you make a mistake, it leads to the goal. But he's been brilliant for us, and he will continue to be. His kicking was, for large parts, brilliant today.
Unbelievable.
We spoke about wider areas. We wanted to sort of pin their fullbacks back, and we didn't do that. We done it okay in the first half, but not to the best we could. So second half, that's why we changed a bit of our shape. And for 15 minutes after half term, I thought we was good value until the penalty. And yeah, the Stevenage lads are great lads, learning their trade as scholars at a professional club, but they're learning the men's side of the game here with us. They've been a breath of fresh air, and I thought Kay in midfield today, when he's on the ball and driving with the ball, brilliant. And it's just the other side of the games that they'll continue to work on, but when he drives with the ball, it's sort of like he's playing his own game. So impressed, but obviously improvement.
What do you do from here? Do you pick them all up in there and train, and then go again next week? What do you do?
Yeah, so, well, there was some words in there, not just from me, from the players, and I like that sometimes, that they're showing a bit of passion and desire and the will. So I don't mind that, as long as it's not over the top, which it wasn't. We've actually got a game on Tuesday. We've got Flatwell Heath away, so it's a quick turnaround. It's pick yourself up. I've asked them in there to look at their game individually today, because sometimes you talk so much of a collective, you lose the individual sort of thought process. So I've asked them to think about it individually today and where they could improve, and sometimes what they've done well as well and what they can carry on doing well. We go to Tuesday. That's actually my birthday, Tuesday.
No, that's an easy present for them to sort you out, isn't it? Yeah,
exactly. It could go one way or the other. So hopefully it's a nice birthday present.
Well, we're looking forward to being with you in a couple of weeks' time for the Leverstock Green game. It's going to be live commentary from here.
Brilliant.
So fingers crossed. I hope all goes well and we'll see you then. Cheers,
Brilliant.
Jack.
No, look forward to it. Thank you.
Find us on social media as RV Football.
Thanks, Johnny. Not the result we wanted to hear from London Conley, but they've had a good start so far this season, so onward and upwards, and let's see how that develops regarding their performances. So very shortly, we're just going to have a few messages. We're going to be coming back and we're going to be speaking with Stephen Neville from City Youth. We've got a football theme anthem of the week, as always. And don't forget, this Saturday from 2:50 p.m, 92.6 FM and online at Radio Verulam, we'll be delivering live commentary where the Saints take on Chippenham Town down at Clarence Park. We will have Paul Fairclough, the England senior manager, in co-commentary. We'll be back with these few messages.
From St Albans on 92.6 FM and online around the world, you are listening to the Radio Verulam Local Football Show.
Stephen, welcome to Radio Verulam's Local Football Show, first and foremost. How are you keeping?
I'm very good, Graham. Hope you're too. Good too. Very busy this week in the run-up to the tournaments, but yeah, keeping well.
Brilliant. Good to hear. And we'll come back onto that tournament piece, as you say. No doubt you're very, very busy. So first and foremost then, Stephen, tell us a little bit about what got you into football before we go into your role into City Youth.
Played all of my football in Northwest London, where I was brought up, and then at a relatively young age, at 18, my club was Hendon. Was very fortunate that I had good people there that wanted to get me into coaching. Coached there for 10 years. Finished with a group of boys, men when they left me, that went in to play first team football. Many of them went on to have good careers at non-league football. And then moved up to St Albans when I was 25, 26, around 20 years ago, came out the game. And just by pure coincidence, bumped into Ian Woods, who's obviously our long-standing secretary at St Albans when my boy was looking for a club when he was 3 or 4, and got roped back in, and haven't looked back since. So, yeah, so that's a bit of background of where my career started, yeah.
So you're a real qualified coach, over 20-odd years experience in the game at youth level, non-league football. Great to hear that some of your players developed and progressed. You must be proud of that.
Yeah, and I was very young at the time, had my eyes opened to coaching. It was a while, while ago. Coaching was different then. Different sets of kids, different outlook. There was no social media at that time, not as much gaming. But yeah, it was a good experience for me when I was young. And I had lots of senior people around me at Hendon that were very good to me, still in contact with a lot of those. But yeah, really good upbringing in terms of when I played at youth level and also going into management, which I absolutely loved, still do, but loved at the time. It was a great experience for me.
Wonderful. So tell us a little bit, Stephen, then what you're doing at City Youth. So tell us a little bit about your involvement, what your role is, and then we'll talk more about the tournament further on.
Yeah, so I came into City Youth about 5 years ago, purely was looking for a club for my boy, met up with Ian, very quickly got back involved into coaching, decided to take a team on, which was developed by, our fantastic young coaches down at Highfield at the time from Saturday morning football. And very fortunate that I have a good, absolutely fantastic bunch of young, kids in my boys' team. And then that grew from there, really. So got more and more involved in the foundation side, trying to improve bits at the very young age groups. And then again, a couple of years ago, very fortunate that Charlie Boswell and Anthony came into the club as full-time development officers. And my role now is head of foundation. So aside of running my boys team and a girls team, my core thing is to help Charlie and Anthony as my role on the committee, the kind of day-to-day bits to try and keep improving those areas at foundation, which I've always been good, but I've just improved so much in the last few years, trying to give everyone that's involved, an opportunity to, have fun, be organised, and for the, the elite players to have an opportunity to move on through their careers.
So you're not only running a boys team, you're running a girls team, which is wonderful, and no doubt that's time consuming. But the foundation role then, what does that really entail? Does it mean that you're looking across the whole of City Youth and looking at inclusivity?
Yeah, so my role within the committee is to anything from kind of 5 years up to 12 years of age, is to assist the managers with their coaching, better facilities, and making sure that every player within all of those age groups is getting the correct opportunities. And then really assisting Charlie and Anthony where they're, trying to make improvements just to make sure that everyone has a good pathway, that they have a good experience, that they're developing whatever their ability, that they're developing correctly. And again, just as important is giving support to the managers within those age groups. We are so fortunate that many of our managers are just parents and they don't sometimes have a lot of football experience, but helping them out because it is a tough job. And I know how tough it is, having done it for so long. On a day-to-day basis, it's all of those things. Have they got all of the tools that they need to improve their own teams? And alongside that, reporting into our operations manager in the committee to say, these things are in place. What I will say is that there's been a massive change in the club in the last couple of years in order to improve all of those things regarding Saturday morning football, the provision that we have at schools, playing surfaces, great work being done on the commercial side by Steve Mann. So we're very much a club that in the last 2 years has tried to improve not just our community input that we do within schools, but ensure that any child, boys, girls, inclusive, adult inclusive, all have the best experience when they come into us and also the best opportunity.
And that's interesting. You talk about facilities, which no doubt is one facet of what you're doing. Facilities then, from what you've seen in other parts of the UK, where do we stand locally, in particular, say, Auburn stroke Hertfordshire? Are we okay or can it be better or are we in a bad place with that?
I think coming from a background from Northwest London, I would say we're very fortunate. I think the ever-growing amount of involvement in football, especially on the girls' side, especially on the inclusive side, is that clubs, be it us as a very big club or the smaller clubs in the area, we are always struggling for pitches. Right. And that is just the nature of the beast with the growth in the game. I think that Hearts FA have been very supportive. And I think that everyone within that Football Foundation, Hearts FA, are trying to make as many pitches available, and especially 3G pitches, artificial pitches. Every club struggles for training slots still. But do I think facilities are good? Oh God, they are a world apart from 15 years ago. So yeah,
I can relate to that exactly. You know, 25 years ago up in Yorkshire, you know, it'd be just cow fields. That was our training facility.
Definitely. But yes, I say to my team, sometimes you're very fortunate. Of course, there are times we're always looking to improve, and that's a joint thing between local clubs. But as an area, I think we're okay, given, you know, at the moment, how many 3 artificial pitches we have in place, how many grass pitches we have in place. I think we're quite fortunate, but yeah, always trying to make it better.
Great point. So there's still more demand play-wise rather than facilities, but the facilities are very good in our area, considering other areas of the UK. So it's just about how we maximise that and work together to resolve it.
Correct. And I think, in fairness, you know, Football Foundation, Hearts FA, you know, even in the community stuff, schools, trying to get 3Gs into schools. Mm. We are fortunate that we are in an area where we have got quite a lot of those pitches. It's just down to demand, you know, the rise of the girls' game, the amount of teams that come out. There are still waiting lists for players everywhere, both boys and girls, inclusive. And it's just managing that, which is a tough task, but it's something that is getting better and is always improving. So, you know, I don't think I can knock that. I think it's on the right path.
Fantastic to hear, Stephen. Really interesting that you're involved in that. And let's move on to this weekend. So you've got a big tournament and you're preparing for it as we speak. Give us a bit of insight to what's going on, how many teams are going to be involved, and what's the event really about?
So we would usually hold our small-sided tournaments every year in May. Last 2 years have obviously been curtailed for obvious reasons. This weekend, we are putting our boys and girls tournaments together, Saturday and Sunday at Highfield Park. A big, big anniversary for us this year. It's our 50th anniversary as a club. So girls tournaments on Saturday, welcoming just over, I think it's 60 clubs.
Wow.
Best part of 100 teams. Same for the boys on Sunday, starting at 9 o'clock all the way through till 6:30.
Wow.
Nearly 150 clubs in total. So we're really looking forward to it. Again, really fortunate that, you know, our committee, volunteers, everyone, massive logistical task to get all of this ready. But we're ready to go and really looking forward to welcoming everyone back after a 2 year break.
And how have you had to do it at Highfield? Have you had to put like a little central hub and organise it with stations for teams to be at? And I guess you've got plenty of playing surfaces.
Yeah, so what we've done this year is that we've had a big change in that everything is on the backfield this year, all of our pitches. We've got more pitches than ever, rest areas, barbecues, special awards tent, because it's our 50th anniversary, logistics around parking at Highfield, which have all been done. We've been there for the last couple of weeks on and off, mapping stuff out. And then the big push on Thursday is to get the final setup. So I think we're all at the point now where we just want to get going and get it done. And also, I must say, you know, thanks again to Highfield Park Trust, because whilst our pitches are there, they're obviously allowing us to hold it there. Fantastic for parking on our facilities there. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
It sounds awesome. And so if anybody's listening in, Stephen, and they just want to come down and see a tournament going on locally, and you've got all these teams, boys and girls, What advice would you give them? Walk down with the dog or try and park somewhere?
If you're local, obviously we'd love you to walk over. Highfield Park's a lovely place. Say we're on the backfield, teas and coffees, tea bar open, barbecue open, loads of good football going on, Saturday with the girls, Sunday with the boys. If you do need to park, parking available on site. You get a lovely souvenir program with your entry. And you're more than welcome. Come down and watch. You know, it'd be a fantastic day with loads of really good clubs. And most importantly, loads of kids enjoying football in pre-season, ready for the new season.
That is wonderful. And final question then, Stephen. Do we think the weather's going to hold out for this?
Well, as you can imagine, I check the weather every hour. And at the moment, the fact that it says it's not going to rain is a good thing. As it stays like that, I will be, and all of my committee will be very happy come Sunday evening. So, yeah, fingers crossed for the weather.
Fantastic. So, Stephen, it sounds like you've got a lot on your hands, so we won't hold you back too much. And just quickly, which team do you support professionally?
Oh, my professional team is Nottingham Forest.
Is it Nottingham Forest? Excellent. Yeah. There's a story behind that then. We'll have to speak to you another time about it.
Yeah,
not doing so well at the moment, but I'm sure they'll turn it around.
No, let's talk hopefully when they've moved up the table.
Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. Stephen, thanks for your time. Delighted you've joined us on Radio Verulam, and we hope to touch base again soon. And if anybody wants to get out there Saturday and Sunday and they want some local youth football, that's the place to go, isn't it? Highfield. So good luck with it all. And we'll catch up soon.
Brilliant. Thanks, Graham. See you soon.